Let's pray. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture today is found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 7th through the 12th verses. The section is entitled, Ask, Seek, Knock. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, now this is the fifth sermon in this series on the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon series entitled Building Your House Upon the Rock. So we have one more Sunday, and then Ash Wednesday comes, and so we'll be doing something else. And I'm looking forward to that, but I'm also looking forward to today and next week as well. I love great prayer ministries within a church. Years ago, when I first became aware of a prayer ministry, they had prayer chains. Everybody on the prayer chain had phone numbers of the person they were supposed to call. You remember those? And you would call somebody and they wouldn't be there, and you'd call the next person, and you would keep calling people till you could get somebody on the phone. And then it was your job to go back to the people you couldn't get and keep trying them till you could get them so that everybody could be there. Now we use email, we use text, we use all sorts of things. It's interesting the way we do it. But it's a beautiful thing to watch the family of God and a community of faith come together and pray. It truly is, especially when you are one of the people who are being prayed for. Amen? When you know that all of these people around you are surrounding you and lifting you up in prayer, it is an unbelievable, humbling experience. It truly is when we can do it for other people. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. 1 Thessalonians tells us we're supposed to do it without ceasing. In Philippians, Paul also writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. James tells us that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. But how we pray has a lot to do with what we think about and how we relate to God. There are people who are very flippant when they come to the way they communicate about God in their life. They might be flippant and carefree and really do all kinds of things, might even use the Lord's name in vain. And then the next moment, be in a tremendous crisis and crying out to God. We have little to do with God, and then we need God more than anything in the world. Then we have people who always treat the name of God and have such respect and worship of God that they're truly humble servants. So how we approach God on a daily basis has some effect on how we respond to God. Sometimes our own fathers or our own parents, the way we related to them as a father figure or mother figure or someone over us, determines how we respond to God. There are people whose parents or their father was a bully, was brutal, You couldn't ask them a question. You couldn't get in the way. They were always judgmental and always punishing. And they were afraid of their father, and they were afraid of God. Because that's the only picture of God or father that they have, is their own father. And that's a scary thing, to think that you have to back up to God to pray because you're afraid you're going to be judged or condemned to hell. There are those who their parents were such that, or their father was such that, anything the child asked for, they got. Never heard the word no in anything. Never heard the words of correction. They have a different picture of God. When they go to God in prayer, they know that even you say, God the Father, Father, God's going to give me everything I would ever want and whim. And then we have people who have parents who love them and love them in a way that they are not afraid to correct. Not afraid to say no, not afraid to, it's not time yet, not yet, whatever. I was fortunate enough to have one of the, I heard no a lot when I was growing up. No is not an uncommon word in our family, but I never questioned that my parents loved me or not. Never worried about that. So how we relate to our own parents, what we think about God, will determine how we even pray to God. And so our scripture today talks about ask, and it should be given to you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and the door will be open to you. Let's take that out of context. We're going to be doing a lot of asking, we're going to do a lot of seeking, we're going to do a lot of knocking. Amen? Because we want what we want. When we want it, and the way we want it. Whoa. Then we read Matthew 18, where Jesus tells a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector in the temple. And the Pharisee raises his head up and throws his shoulders back and looks around and says, thank God I'm not like any of these people. I fast twice a week. I tithe, give tithes on all I own. Now that tax collector over there, thank God I'm not him. And the tax collector won't even look up to heaven, but beats his chest and says, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. It's not just saying the right things, it's how we say them. The prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. But is God obligated to answer every one of our prayers the way we ask it and when we ask it? Does God give us everything we ask? There are a group of Christians who are what I would call the name it and claim it crowd. If you name it and you have enough faith, God will give you what you ask for. Y'all ever known of those people? I named and claimed that God needs to provide me with a jet for my ministry here at Kingswood. That for me to truly be the man that God wants me to be, I'm claiming that God told me I needed a jet. Y'all need to make that happen. Name and claim it doesn't work. It's never worked for me on the golf course. I've named that I was going to hit it down the middle, and I've shanked it, or I hit it in the woods. I claimed that I was going to not hit it in the water, and I did. I was claiming that I was going to get out of the trap, and I didn't. And I've named that I was going to make a lot of putts, and I've missed them all. And somebody will say, well, you just didn't have enough faith. If you had enough, the faith of a mustard seed, all that would have happened. We name it and claim it in some weird ways. We name it in illnesses. Many, many years ago, a friend of mine, we were involved in a family life conference. Had a 2-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, and she was diagnosed with leukemia. Everybody who was involved with this event knew Aspen. Everybody loved when Aspen was brought to an event. Anytime she showed up, because we knew you were going to get some wonderful hugs, you were going to be loved unconditionally. It's just this most beautiful little girl you could ever be around. Just beamed love. And so people began to pray. Churches all over Augusta, outside of Augusta, far as you could go, and people that anybody who knew them prayed for them. The little girl would go to the hospital and they would put a scripture all the way around the top of the wall. They would put prayers and notes and tape them to the wall. And she died. And the dad, we were talking one day and he said, I guess I didn't have enough faith. Didn't have enough faith. Or somebody told them, you know, if you had had a little more faith, your daughter would have been healed. Let me just say this to you. I don't know if you've ever said that. Please do not ever say that to anybody. It's the most thoughtless, despicable thing you can say to somebody. Because I want to ask, when you say that, when were you in the inner counsel of God and God shared that thought with you? Or are you just trying to say something because you think you know what you're talking about? There are things in this life we will never be able to understand on this side of glory. There are things that we just will not understand now. One day I believe we will. I truly believe that. So when we start looking at these scriptures and we look at ask and seek and knock, it's not so much about, it's about persistence in prayer. We will keep praying. We will keep seeking, asking, knocking. We will keep doing that because that's what we're supposed to do. But the thing we don't want to do is take this scripture out of the context of where we find it. We find this scripture in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's where it needs to stay. Because the Sermon on the Mount is how God in Christ sees the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God should work in this world. And the values of God are different than our values. They really are. They really are. Because the kingdom of God, as we know it, breaks into this world that we live in. And it's also in the not yet. And so the thing we got to make sure that we're doing is making sure that we live a life where the kingdom of God breaks into the life that we're in now more and more each and every day. So we need to start thinking about asking, seeking, and knocking in the context of the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes saying, as we said last week and in the beginning, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will get the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, bankrupt spiritually. And when we pray because of our spiritual bankruptcy, and we say the things we need, We're also confessing those things. We're praying for mercy. We're praying for grace. We're praying for the presence of God in our life. Okay? And we need to constantly pray for those things, asking and seeking and knocking those things, and the Lord will answer those prayers. Because in asking for those, we're admitting that that's what we need more than anything in the world. And that's what the world needs more than anything else in the world. It's that being humble enough to know that we don't have it all together. We don't have it all together. And we mourn because we don't have it all together. The context matters. You see, we ask for grace and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance and to help us with our spiritual bankruptcy. Keep on asking. The kingdom of heaven requires poverty of spirit, purity of heart, truth, compassion, a non-condemning spirit, a life of integrity. And the sad part is so many of us lack those things because we still think it's about us. There are those, especially in our Western world, is that we picked ourselves up by our bootstraps and we did it all our own. I don't know who told you that, but you have not done that. We have not gotten here by ourselves. There have been thousands of people in your life and in my life who've helped us get to this place. You have not done it on your own. And you're not going to get to where you need to be on your own. Because we truly are, if we admit it or not, are spiritually bankrupt. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Context matters. In asking sincerely and humbly, there is an act of repentance because we're asking and admitting we don't have the things that are necessary. That's what's important. James says it this way, we have not because we ask not, because when we ask, we do not receive because we ask with the wrong motives, that we may spend what we get on our pleasures. And then Jesus says this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What are you talking about, Jesus? How does this, the golden rule, have anything to do with asking, seeking, and knocking? It has everything to do with being kingdom people and living in the kingdom of God. Because it matters. For me, there was a time that the golden rule really meant do unto others before they can do it unto you. That's one of the ways to look at it. I don't want to be murdered, so I'm not going to murder anybody. That's the lowest common denominator. But that's not what Jesus wants, is it? See, Jesus expects more from us than that. This is the way we need to look at the golden rule. Whatever we love, whatever makes us feel, have the greatest self-esteem, the one that gives us the most joy, the things that make us have the most joy when we see people, that's what we need to be doing to other people. And I started thinking about things that I really enjoy. I love when somebody says good morning with a smile on their face and you can tell they mean it. That just lifts my spirit, doesn't it? It's better than get out of my way. Have we ever said that? Somebody does something, cuts in front of you, and you tell them they're number one. We would really rather hear someone say, smile and say good morning, how are you, and really mean it. Well, if that's what floats your boat, that makes you feel good, why don't we do that to other people? If we truly enjoy when somebody will sit down and talk to you and act like they care, if we love that, why don't we do that with other people? If we love when somebody makes time for us, have you ever thought about making time for other people? If you love to get mail, have you ever thought about mailing something? If there are things that make you feel complete, if you know what it feels like when somebody forgives you and you're set free from the bondage of that guilt, maybe you might want to think about being more forgiving. You see, I believe with all that I am that if we pray for the right things, seeking, asking, seeking, and knocking, and then we do unto others what, as if we have the things that we are praying we need, and we're doing those unto others, the kingdom of God will break into the lives of people around us. Truly. If we begin to do the things we love to other people, and all of us are sold out to that issue and that idea, and we pray for those things, we can change the world. We can certainly change your household. You can change the church. You can change the community. If we begin to do the unthinkable of living the life that Christ requires of us in the Sermon on the Mount. You see, the things we're asking for, I promise you, God will give them if we just ask. If we try to make the world like Christ implores us to make it. Doing unto others the things we love being done to us. Imagine that if everything that brings us joy was being done to everyone. I have been real sad this week when all of a sudden those news flashes from Turkey. How do we do unto them? I see the picture of the baby brought out, infant, whose mother died while giving birth, and the baby was still connected by the umbilical cord. Or the father holding his dead child wife's hand, who's still under the rubble. The baby or the young child that was brought out yesterday, surviving. Or you see the people who are digging out the rubble by hand, and as they're digging out the rubble, what was above them falls on top of them. 28,000, and they're saying it could be double that. How do we pray for those people? How do we, as the people of God, help the kingdom of God break into their life? How do we shorten the distance between their wants and what we have for them? How can they know that God loves them if God's people don't love them first? What does the Lord require us to do as we ask, seek, and knock? As we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Those are hard questions. But I'm sure if we are diligent and persistent in asking and seeking and knocking, we can change the world and people's lives. And the kingdom of God will certainly break into their life and set them free. May we be set free too. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for telling us to seek and ask and seek and knock. Be persistent in doing that. Change our values so that we remember how spiritually bankrupt we are. And may we be heartbroken because of that bankruptcy. And may we seek mercy and forgiveness and grace, compassion and love in everything that we do, so that the way that we do unto others would not only bring us joy, but bring you joy. And joy to those we do it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.